Watching her sailing dead for us, a white wave boiling under her bows, Legleo cried out, "What's wrong with her crew? Are they all drunk or insane? Can't they see us?" Ichua nodded soberly, looked at us sharply as he remarked, "See us, no doubt. If there is a crew aboard." "What do you mean, Chief?" Legleo had started, turned to the Basque. "Are you saying that she's the Flying Dutchman?" His sudden fright had been so evident that the older man laughed. "No, old man, that's not what I meant. If I say that no one's aboard, I mean she's a derelict." Then we understood his queer behavior. Ichua was right. For some reason, believing her doomed, her crew had abandoned her. Then she had righted herself and sailed on, wandering with the wind. The three of us grew tense as the ship seemed about to crash on one of our numerous reefs, but she suddenly lurched with some change of the wind, the yard swung around, and the derelict came clumsily about and sailed dead away from us. In the light of our lantern, she seemed so sound, so strong, that Ichua exclaimed impatiently, "But why the devil was she abandoned? Nothing is smashed, no sign of fire, and she doesn't sail as if she were taking water." Legleo waved to the departing ship. "Bon voyage," he smiled at Ichua and went on. "She's leaving us, Chief, and now we'll never know what." "No, she's not," cried the Basque. "Look, she's turning." As if obeying his words, the derelict three-master stopped, came about, and headed for us once more. And for the next 4 hours, the vessel played around us, zigzagging, coming about, stopping, then suddenly lurching forward. No doubt, some freak of current and wind, of which our island was the center, kept her near us. Then, suddenly, the tropic dawn broke. The sun rose, and it was day, and the ship was plainly visible as she sailed past us. Our light extinguished, we returned to the gallery with our glasses and inspected her. The three of us focused our glasses on her poop, saw, standing out sharply, black letters on the white background of a life ring, the stenciled name, Cornelius de Witt, Rotterdam. We had read her lines correctly. She was Dutch. Just then the wind rose, and the Cornelius de Witt changed course, leaned to port, and headed straight for us once more. But this time she was so close that we knew she would not turn in time. "Thunder!" cried Legleo, his Breton soul aching to see a fine ship doomed to smash upon a reef. "She's going to pile up. She's gone." I shook my head. "Yes, and a shame to see that beautiful ship wreck herself. And we're helpless." There was nothing we could do but watch. A ship sailing with all sail spread, creaming the sea with her forefoot as she runs before the wind, is one of the most beautiful sights in the world. But this time I could feel the tears stinging my eyes as I saw this fine ship headed for her doom. All this time our glasses were riveted on her, and we suddenly cried out together, "The rats!" Now we knew why this ship, in perfect condition, was sailing without her crew aboard. They had been driven out by the rats. Not those poor specimens of rats you see ashore, barely reaching the length of 1 foot from their trembling noses to the tip of their skinny tails, wretched creatures that dodge and hide at the mere sound of a footfall. No, these were ship's rats, huge, wise creatures born on the sea, sailing all over the world on ships, transferring to other, larger ships as they multiply. There is as much difference between the rats of the land and these maritime rats as between a fishing smack and an armored cruiser. The rats of the sea are fierce, bold animals, large, strong, and intelligent, clannish and seawise, able to put the best of mariners to shame with their knowledge of the sea, their uncanny ability to foretell the weather. And they are brave, these rats, and vengeful. If you so much as harm one, his sharp cry will bring hordes of his fellows to swarm over you, tear you, and not cease until your flesh has been stripped from the bones. The ones on this ship, the rats of Holland, are the worst, superior to other rats of the sea, as their brethren are to land rats. There is a well-known tale about these animals. A Dutch captain, thinking to protect his cargo, brought aboard his ship, not cats, but two terriers, dogs trained in the hunting, fighting, and killing of vicious rats. By the time the ship, sailing from Rotterdam, had passed the Ostend Light, the dogs were gone and never seen again. In 24 hours, they had been overwhelmed, killed, and eaten by the rats. At times, when the cargo does not suffice, the rats attack the crew, either driving them from the ship or eating them alive. And studying the Cornelius de Witt, I turned sick, for her small boats were all in place. She had not been abandoned.